I think there are moments when maybe not all of us, but probably most of us are off the path. We're either intentionally or unintentionally running away from God, and we're not interested in pursuing the Lord. We're interested in pursuing our own thing. And then the Good Shepherd leaves the 99 and he comes out to rescue us and bring us back into the fold. And we might say there's nothing better in life than being close to Jesus. And so if you're here today and maybe you're off in the wilderness somewhere and you have found yourself in this room, or maybe you're watching online and you have found yourself among us virtually, there's nothing better than being closer to Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. I believe Dawn knows that. Kaylin knows that. So many people in this room have experienced the goodness of God. And this series is really all about this great truth that when you come near to God, he promises to come near to you. Yes, there are times where he goes and gets you, right? There are times where he saves us from falling off the cliff. But then there's other times where we need to just pause where we are and pursue him, go after him, and believe in that promise that he will then come near to us. And so through this series, I've challenged you to carve out a time, a space in your day, whether it's 15 minutes, a half an hour, and to fast and to pray and to read the scriptures. We've given you devotionals that you can find on beartownroad.org, or you can grab the booklet on your way out. Very simply put, fasting, which is one of those mysterious things, if I could boil it down into three statements, as I said a couple of weeks ago, it simplifies our schedule. For me, I've spent the last 2 weeks fasting from breakfast, which I do all the time anyway, wasn't a big deal. Fasting from lunch and just spending some time in prayer. Some of you are not able to do that because of your schedule, but you might try to figure out a way to fast from something. Maybe it's food, maybe it's social media, but it does simplify your schedule, right? You don't have to find something to eat. You don't have to go out to eat. You don't have to think about your food. You just kind of clear some space. It also serves as my alarm to pray, because your alarm bells are going to go off. Your stomach's going to be saying, feed me, feed me. And thirdly, and this is the hardest one to explain, that it in fact nourishes your soul. So I had the great privilege to teach at Family Life Network Singles Conference yesterday, and I did a breakout session on prayer and fasting. And one of the ladies gave a great illustration, and this is what she said. She said, when I spend time with Jesus, it's like I'm here, and so Levi, raise your hand real quick, Levi. So Levi's right there. It's like I'm here and Jesus is here. But when I fast, it feels like he's right there, right? Like he's right here. Maybe we should hug just to, or would that be weird? Maybe we won't do that. But it's just, you just get closer to God. It's hard to explain, right? Again, Donald Whitney described it like this. There's just something about fasting that deepens the passion of our supplication. I can't really explain it, but it just makes my prayers better. I feel closer to God when I fast. So I hope that you've been doing this over the course of the last 2 weeks if you've been around. If you're new today, my challenge is his mercies are new every morning. And so you can start today. No better day to start than today. So I want to look at a passage that I feel like we look at this passage all the time. And maybe it's because it's one of the greatest things Jesus ever said. Here's what he said. Come to me. Right, pursue me, all you who are weary and burdened. You feel weary this morning? I mean, just the fact that it's freezing cold outside is a little bit wearisome, right? And I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. If you think of those wooden yokes that people would put over their necks and they would carry buckets, or if you think of an oxen that would yoke to another oxen to be able to produce more, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Do you think of God as being gentle and humble in heart? And you will find rest for your souls. And the next statement that Jesus makes is the statement that I really want to spend some time on today, because let's just look at it. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, let's be intellectually honest with ourselves for a second. Was Jesus really right about this? Like, Is the yoke of Jesus or the life of Jesus or the teachings of Jesus, are they really easy? Is following Jesus really going to make your life easier? Because when I read the New Testament, a lot of what Jesus says seems to actually be harder. Let me give you some examples. When you fast, so if you've decided to fast from food, it's not easy. It's easier to just grab food and eat it. So fasting's not easy. How can Jesus say that putting his yoke on you would make things easier? How about this one? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. I mean, I think it's easier to actually sit at home on the couch and turn the lights out and watch another Netflix episode as opposed to getting out there and doing good deeds. Jesus, what do you mean your teaching is easier? Maybe one of the hardest things Jesus said was this. It's like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'll avoid my enemies, but you want to love my enemies? Come on, Jesus. That's not easy. That's actually really, really hard. So, Jesus, what do you mean my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Because when I read the New Testament, it certainly seems that a lot of the teachings of Jesus actually seem hard. That's what I want to talk with you about today for the next few minutes. Now, when I was a kid, I've shared this illustration 1,000 times, but it's such a good illustration. I grew up about 15 minutes away from Three River Stadium, the old Three River Stadium where the Pittsburgh Pirates played. And I used to go to games all the time. I'd pay $1. It was Buck night because the Pirates were the Bucks. Let's go Bucks. You pay $1. I'd sit in left field, and right in front of me, I mean, just a few feet away, was my hero. I mean, this guy was truly my idol growing up, and his name is Barry Bonds. And I would sit out there and I'd watch him on TV and I would watch every single move that this guy made. And at the time, like the late 80s, early 90s, he was argued to be the greatest baseball player in the game at that time. And he had a few unique things that he used to do. Like, he used to stand in left field. And he would, if a fly ball came to him, he would like take his glove and he'd slap it on his leg and then he'd catch it like this, right? So I'd go to my little league game and I'd catch it like this. And he had this really unique batting stance where he would get up there and he would go like this, right? I mean, I've done this a million times, so I'm really good at doing Barry Bonds things, right? And then he would pump his arms like this, which is not really all that effective, but that's what he did. So I was like, all right, Barry Bonds did. So I would do this. He wore, as you can see, he wore black Nike high tops in a day where that wasn't really cool, but I didn't care. So I bought black Nike high tops and I wore wristbands and gloves and I wanted to be Barry Bonds. Loved that guy. He was my hero. Now, newsflash, I did not become like Barry Bonds. Nowhere even close. And the reason that I never became like Barry Bonds, well, obviously there's a massive talent gap, right? But here's the thing. Barry Bonds did not achieve his excellence through only trying hard at the plate. In other words, he didn't just sit on the couch all week and then say, all right, it's time for me to get up here. I better focus, right? Instead, he chose discipline behind the scenes to provide a foundation for his body's excellent responses at the plate. I would read articles about how Barry Bonds would spend hours in the weight room, sweating, working hard. He would meticulously think about everything that went into his body, his nutrition, the supplements, everything that he did behind the scenes was so disciplined so that when he got up to the plate, he made it look so easy, right? We say that about great athletes. They just make it look so easy. Right, such an easy swing. Or you look at Simone Biles, right? We're going to watch her in Paris this summer. She takes that little balancing beam and does all these wild flips and backwards, all this stuff. And we're like, wow, she makes it look so easy. I have a niece who's doing gymnastics, and she has this little balancing beam in the basement. And I walked on it, and I couldn't even make it from one end to the other, just walking on it. And she can do all these crazy flips. Or you imagine, if you've ever been to a concert, you'll see one of those pianists who they do all this like fast stuff with their fingers, you know, and they're not even watching. They're just doing this. And you're like, man, they make it look so easy. They make it look so easy. Here's the truth. If you want to be a Jesus follower. The Apostle Paul says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. That might be one of the hardest verses in the entire Bible. Like, you should have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who remained calm when the going got tough, who knew the words to say when he was in the midst of conflict. When everything was falling apart around him, he was able to be centered, right? But it's not like he just turned it on when it came time for him to step up to the plate. It's because he pressed into his time with the Father when no one was looking. So if we want the focus and the passion and the strength and the wisdom of Jesus when he stepped up to the plate, we must do what he did when nobody was watching. And when nobody was watching, he did a whole lot of this. A whole lot of just carving out time to get away, to be with the Father, nourish his soul. And then when he had to step up to the plate and figure out if he was going to go here or stay here, or if he was going to say this or say this, or if he was going to recruit this disciple or that disciple, he had already spent time behind the scenes working on his relationship with the Lord, working so that when it came time for the going to get tough, he was tough. And the tough got going. So let me illustrate this for you. I said a minute ago that this is really hard to do, to fast. And if you've taken this upon yourself the last couple of weeks, you would say, yeah, it's been hard because it's just easier to eat everything that you see. But I can tell you in true honesty that because I fasted the last couple of weeks, life's been a little bit easier. I just have a little bit more peace, a little bit less anxiety. I still yell at my kids too much. But I just feel a little bit closer to God as a result of taking that time to fast and to pray. I can honestly tell you that I don't think I have a whole lot of enemies right now, right? And I really do try to implement this in my life, that when I have a struggle with somebody, that I try to talk it out. Can't do that with everybody. But I can honestly tell you that it's better to love your enemy than to walk around with bitterness and unforgiveness. Because when you walk around with bitterness and unforgiveness, you're walking around with a burden that you were never intended to carry. Your heart can't handle unforgiveness and anger. It's an easier life to love your enemy than to hold on to bitterness. That's the easy yoke. Some of you are carrying around burdens that God never intended for you to carry. You have chosen unintentionally a harder life. How about this one? Let's not give up meeting together. I mean, I just want to say, you're in the room right now. You got up early today. You braved the cold weather. It's not easy getting here on a Sunday morning, right? It's not easy for those of you watching online to sit up in your bed and grab your phone and watch it online, right? I'm just messing with you a little bit there. It's not easy to show up week after week, but over time, you start to say, you know what? I feel a little bit closer to Jesus. It's not easy every week showing up at your small group, but after a while, you say to yourself, I think I have some friends who can carry my burdens. This is what John said in 1 John 5. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. In the moment they are hard, right? To be a disciple, to do discipline is hard. But at the end of the day, it's actually easier. It's an easier life. G.K. Chesterton, author, theologian, writes this, Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting as it has been found difficult and left untried. I've been working with a leadership coach over the course of the last several months. Recently, he said to me, you need to set some goals for exercise. And typically when we think about exercise, we think, I got to count the cost. I got to buy a gym membership. I got to buy some clothes that I don't have. I got to get up a little bit earlier, or I got to stay up a little bit later. I got to take another shower, right? I gotta count the cost of exercise. But he encouraged me to think about it this way. What's the cost of not exercising? Because there's a cost to not exercising. It's kind of like if you got a big decision to make, indecision is a decision. So to not exercise is a decision. What's the cost to not exercise? And it's often like more stress, more cortisol flowing through your veins, more anxiety. What's the cost of not exercise? So I want to ask this question today. What's the cost of non-discipleship? Because there's a cost to it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And he wants us to think, if you decide to follow Jesus, there is a cost to it. It means you're going to have to stop doing some things and start doing some other things. So, you know, there's a parable like, before you sit down to build a tower, you should think about how much it's going to cost. There is a cost to following Jesus, but there is a heavier cost to not following Jesus. Namely, an eternity without Jesus. Right? So which cost do you want to pay? I mean, Proverbs says this, the way of the unfaithful is hard. Right? I mean, some of you in this room would say, I lived a hard life. And now I follow Jesus. And my life is so much healthier. So Jesus' yoke may feel heavy at first. Yeah, fasting feels heavy at first. The disciplines feel heavy at first. But it gets easier over time. I think Jesus was right when he says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Paul tells us, you got to train yourself to be godly. You can't just hope it happens. You can't just take a discipleship pill. Now, I'm not against pills. I know you might be taking dieting pills or anti-anxiety medication. I'm not against that, but there's no discipleship pill. There's no shortcuts to getting close to Jesus. It requires discipline. So train yourselves to be godly. It's planting seeds day after day after day, and eventually you begin to see the fruit. Train yourselves to be godly. Paul says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding hope for the present life and the life to come. So train yourself to be godly. Now, I don't know what your struggles are in life. For me, I feel like I've been talking about this a lot, but for me, my greatest struggle in life is losing my cool with my kids. So I say to people, just pray that I stop yelling at my kids. Pray that I figure out a system where we can have a healthy, healthy relationship. And so when I read from James, the brother of Jesus, this statement, I'll show you it in a second, I think to myself, I want that to be my life. Here's what he says. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger, we know it does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Even if you're here and you're not a Christian, or you're watching online, you're not a Christian, this is what you want for your life, right? We all want to be calmer people. When stuff starts flying and people start saying stuff and the kids start arguing, we want to be calmer people. None of us wishes, I just wish I could get a little more angry, right? None of us wants that. We wish that we were a little bit slower to speak, a little bit slower to become angry. But it doesn't just happen overnight, right? It oftentimes doesn't just happen in the moment. So James says, well, here's what you got to do. You got to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that is the goal. There is freedom. When Barry Bonds gets up to the plate, he's got freedom because he put the work in behind the scenes. When Simone Biles can do all those flips, there's freedom because she put the work in behind the scenes. When you got a decision to make and the stuff starts flying and your emotions start getting you a little bit, you got to step up to the plate. You want freedom. You don't want to have the heavy burden of anger ruling your life. There's freedom. So you look into the perfect law that's designed to give you freedom. And he goes on to say, you continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. and he will be blessed by what he does. He'll be blessed by what he does. I mean, let's be honest. We all want results without the work. We all want results without the work. But the truth is, either this afternoon or tonight, tomorrow, at some point this week, you're going to have to step up to the plate. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to react in a certain way. What are you going to do when that time comes? My hope is that you'll have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, our Lord, but you can't act like Jesus when everybody's watching if you don't act like Jesus when nobody's watching. You can't speak words of life when people are watching, when you're not acting like Jesus behind the scenes. So my encouragement to you is that you would do maybe a little less trying and a little more praying. And Galatians 5 says the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, which we all want. Even if you're not a Christian, you want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You want that for your kids. You want that for your spouse, your coworkers. You want that. And it doesn't necessarily come from, once I get up on the spot, I'm going to try really, really hard. It comes from finding a time and a place, getting into the scriptures, humbly receiving the word planted in you, as James would say. If you're like, I don't even know where to start with prayer, pray the Lord's Prayer. That's how Jesus taught us to pray, right? Where you just start out and you say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I recognize that you are holy and that you are mighty. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to encourage you to fast. Just think about the next week. It's my hope that we can implement this for the rest of our lives, that we can take some of these principles and begin to implement them throughout our lives. But we just got one more week of this. And if you haven't been doing it, would you at least try it? Because some of you are making life harder than it needs to be. Some of you are carrying around burdens that you don't need to be carrying. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So stop walking around with all these burdens and get before your heavenly Father who loves you more than you'll ever know, who died for you, who bled for you, who wants you to come near to him and put on the easy yoke and the lighter burden, because that's the good life. That's the life that he's designed for you. There's a cost to discipleship, but there's also a cost to non-discipleship. And some of you have been doing your own way entirely too long, and it's time for you to pause and say, I'm going to choose the easy life. Maybe in the moment it's going to be harder, but in the long term it's going to be better, because that's the kind of life that God wants for you. So, where are you going to spend time with the Lord tomorrow? What are you going to do? And what are you going to fast from? My encouragement to you is that you would be able to answer that question before you go to bed tonight, and you press into it this week, and it will be hard, and it will be difficult, and you'll be tempted to let it go. But as Dawn so eloquently said just a few minutes ago, don't stop. Keep on fighting the good fight. He's worth it. Because as we say all the time, there is nothing better than you. You believe that? You believe there's nothing better than Jesus? Let's do this. Next week, we're going to start a brand new series called Elevate, Christ Above All Things. This will be a 6-part series in the book of Colossians. We're just going to go through it verse by verse. It'll take us 6 weeks. I'm also going to give you a devotional that we'll start next week. It's a YouVersion on the book of Colossians. For those of you who are wondering, what are we going to do after this week? I'm going to encourage all of us to go through this Colossians so that we can just keep on rolling with our time with the Lord. So let's take a moment to pray. Let's take a moment to come near to God, to believe that he's going to come near to us, and then we can get you out of here. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you love us so much. So much more than we can even imagine. And even when we take time to be with you and we get distracted and we're not feeling it, the promise is true that you will come near to us. And we thank you for that. I pray that we would press into this discipline. And as we do it day after day, we would begin to say, wow, your yoke really is easier and your burden really is lighter. And we thank you for that extraordinary promise. We thank you for this church, for us all to be able to gather in this place underneath your word. Would you help us to apply it this week? And we pray this in the mighty, awesome, most powerful name of the God who reigns on high, the God who is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.